What's the difference in a gift and a reward? It's the same difference between salvation and eternal rewards. That's what we're going to talk about in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for tuning in today. We've just recently begun a new series based on a book that I've written called Eternal Rewards. I'm going to come back at the end of the program to tell you how to get your hands on a copy of this book and some of our other resources. But as for right now, let's go straight to the Grace in Focus studios where I had a great discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Thanks for tuning into the show. My name is Sean.
My name is Bob.
All right, good. You had to think about that for a second.
Yeah, I can't remember.
And in the studio, I'm so pleased to have in the studio with us today is Lucas Kitchen, whom listeners of this show will know from he introduces the show and he does the outros for the show. But today, you need to know him as an author. Lucas is a more prolific author than Bob and I, frankly. And he's written a new book. It's called Eternal Rewards. It will pay to obey. And we're going to do an entire series based on this excellent book on the doctrine of eternal rewards. Welcome, Lucas.
Thank you, guys, for letting me be here.
Well, in the last episode, we just briefly introduced the subject of eternal rewards, and we noted that a lot of churches just don't preach on this doctrine. A lot of churches actually deny it. I think other churches just neglect it. Even in churches that believe in eternal rewards, it's not always emphasized as much as maybe it should be, as much as the Bible warrants. Because in the last episode, Lucas, I believe you said something like 20... How many books of the New Testament have clear teaching about eternal rewards?
My count was 24 out of the 27 have a very clear statement. The others may have implied statements.
Remember? That's a lot. So eternal rewards is not a minor theme in the Bible.
Yeah.
This is a major theme that for some reason people have overlooked. And I think part of the reason we were talking about this last episode is, let's call this an undeveloped view of the next life, where they don't even think that there are inequalities.
But there's another reason, Sean. And I know Lucas gets into this in the book. And that is, if you believe that only those who are overcoming in the Christian life are actually true Christians, so that if you fail to overcome, you're not going to be in the kingdom at all. Or only those who overcome keep their salvation, which is what many people in evangelicalism believe. There is no doctrine of eternal rewards because the reward is getting into the kingdom,
right? So that's a very important point.
Yeah, that's good.
So what you're saying is some people do teach eternal rewards, except they confuse that with salvation itself.
A lot of the passages we're going to be looking at are not understood as eternal rewards passages. They're understood as eternal salvation passages.
Interesting.
When we talk about the difference that this makes, well, it makes a big difference because it makes a difference between whether you can know for sure that you have everlasting life or not.
So there's a difference about the difference between eternal life and eternal rewards. It makes a difference that if you differentiate those two things, is what I'm trying to say. I think that's what you're saying, right? Lucas, you would say that there's a big difference between eternal life and eternal rewards.
Certainly. Bob, I think you're exactly right. I think what happens is if you teach eternal rewards the way we're talking about it, it puts lordship salvation on shaky ground because you lose your opportunity to dangle people's feet over hell.
And let's explain that term, lordship salvation. It's not a term that we've used very often.
Good point.
What is it?
Yeah, so if you may have been sitting in a pew one day and a pastor gives a 15 to 20 minute pitch on why you're not saved, often that comes along with this sense of you have not fully made him Lord of your life, or you're not obeying him, therefore that is proof that you're not saved. That's a very flat sort of characterization of it, but that's how I generally describe it. And so when you think of the way that many pastors frighten their congregations, many authors frighten their readers, many grandmothers frighten their grandchildren, we would call that lordship in the sense that they're claiming that you are not saved if you don't do these things. Now, when you think about eternal rewards, that has no place in that schema, because when you begin to talk about eternal rewards, you have to establish that someone's eternal life is a gift and you can't lose it, and it's, you know, it's irrevocable. And until you can teach that, eternal rewards usually don't make sense to people.
Your chapter 5 talks about that the words used for rewards in the New Testament, well, primarily the main word is misthos. These words mean compensation. Would you talk about that a bit?
Yeah, and that makes a lot of people uncomfortable to hear that there will be a payday so to speak, that this is recompense, this is reward. Imagine at the end of a long, hard month of working, your boss handed you a paycheck and said, here's your free gift. You would say, wait a minute, this wasn't a free gift. I worked for this. Now, that makes people uncomfortable when we try to put that in a heavenly context. Imagine getting into heaven for free, but then Christ saying, here's your paycheck for what you've done. It is an uncomfortable idea for a lot of people who've been told that it's grace both for salvation and everything else.
I think a lot of people are expecting to be saved as payment for what they've done in this life.
Yeah, that's true.
I was just watching a TV show called The Good Place.
Yeah.
And I'm not necessarily recommending that you watch it, but in The Good Place, it basically depicts life after death. And the way you get into The Good Place, according to the show, is that every single thing that you've done either gets you points or it takes away points. Hmm. And you get into The Good Place based on, if you've helped like a little old lady across the street, that's like plus 10 points. Or if you, you know, when, there's different things. And so to me, that is Hollywood expressing a popular idea that we earn eternal life based on how good we do. And at the end of our life, we're evaluated. And if our good outweighs the bad, if we have more good points than negative points, if we end up with a surplus, then we get into heaven. I think a lot of people are expecting that when they die and they stand before God, they're going to get what's coming to them, which is, I was a good person. I was better than this guy over here. You should let me in because I've earned it. You know, I was not a jerk my whole life. That's popular religion, I think, across many different religions. We call that work salvation. Before you're talking about lordship salvation. That is false, right? Eternal life is a free gift.
Notice Romans 4, 4, and 5. In fact, Paul uses the word misthos, and it's translated wages. Let me read Romans 4, 4, and 5. Now, to him who works, the wages, misthos, are not counted as grace, but as debt. Exactly what you just said, Lucas. You work for a month. Those are wages. Yeah. Those aren't a gift, but that's a debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness.
So Paul is saying in the economy of salvation, eternal life is a gift or you don't get it.
Right.
Yeah. It's free. You cannot earn it or you don't have it at all.
But within what Paul is saying here, there is something called wages.
Yeah. Right. There is a role
for
that.
It's just not justification truth.
That's right.
And so the wages that Lucas is talking about, it's very important. Don't we all want to know what these heavenly wages are?
Yeah, raises a huge question. You know, one thing that I noticed, and you being much deeper in Greek than I am, you maybe could answer this. One of the things that I noticed as I looked at these words was, when the word misthos is translated for a natural type of thing, like when Jesus is giving a parable and a character in the parable gets paid, it's called wages. But when that word is translated by a lot of the popular translations and it's a spiritual sense, something that happens in heaven, they don't use wages. They use reward. And so I'm wondering if that sort of colors our understanding. It kind of moves us away from the mark of realizing, just in popular Bible translations, that this is compensation. This is a payback. This is a type of paycheck for what we've done on earth as believers.
I agree. Translations are influenced, obviously, by the theology of the translators, and sometimes translators will soften words. You have in your title of your book, It Will Pay to Obey. Dr. Paul Benware has a book called The Believer's Payday, talking about eternal rewards. And yes, it would be appropriate to call these wages or to call it pay, because the Lord is going to repay us. There's many, many texts, and you have many of them mentioned in your book, where it says he's going to recompense us according to the deeds which we've done.
And I don't know if this is a valid point or not, but I would want to say that this is something that God has obligated himself to us to do. It's not something that we naturally can just say to God, you owe me. It's because he has made this promise beforehand to reward us based on our good works, to pay us for our good works, that he's obligated to do so. So even that, in a sense, is of grace. I'm going to graciously reward you for doing what you already should be doing as a creature, but I'm going to reward you anyways because that's in my nature to do.
Yeah, I really like that idea. One way that I've come to think of it is the entire system is a system of grace. What we'll see in a later episode is that he is, we might even say, irresponsible in how much he rewards us for what even little faithfulness we do have. Mm. And so our faithfulness, in a sense, it is like if you went to a bank and the banker said, just put in $1 into this savings account and I will give you 10,000% interest. You'd
right.
say, that is really irresponsible. I'm going to need to talk to a manager because that doesn't sound right. But that's sort of what God is promising, as we'll see as we develop this idea, is that it is grace even in the sense that it is a graceful reward. It's a reward that is above and beyond. It's beyond even being compared to what we have to do for it. And so it demonstrates His grace, even though it is recompense and it is a type of being repaid.
Well, and I think that's where the eternality comes in, right? So you do something in time. You do a good deed in time that maybe just took you a minute or just to... I was just reading a story about Ross Perot helping out a wounded veteran. And without any kind of media coverage, without any story getting out, he paid for this guy to fly to see the best doctors, and he paid for his care, and he paid for the family to be able to stay in a hotel across the street from the hospital. So that, so you know, Ross Perot did all these things without any type of fanfare. Maybe it took a couple of years, and maybe it took $1 million or so. But if he was a believer, I'm just using him as an example, if he was a believer, he will reap eternal rewards based on that action in time. And so that's like your 10,000% for your $1 investment deposit, right, in the bank account. So that is a great example, I think, of God's grace in rewarding us for eternity for something that we've only done in a very short period of time.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, Sean. And I think it's important when we think about compensation that we realize that God wants to pay us. That's His heart.
Yeah. I guess I'd wrap up with this idea just to sort of sum it up. There is a difference, and we know it. There's a difference between a Christmas present and a paycheck. Eternal life is given as a free gift. It's a present for those who believe. However, eternal reward is like a paycheck, and we'll develop that in future episodes. Well, thanks to Sean and Bob for letting me join you on the show today. That was a lot of fun. And I think we unearthed some pretty interesting ideas. The idea that reward is ultimately a payment for good works. If you'd like to dive deeper and see the evidence for this, you might want to get a copy of my book called Eternal Rewards. You can do that by going to faithalone.org and searching the title. Or you can click on the button that says Store. In addition to my book, Grace Evangelical Society has lots of authors and lots of great books available right there on the site. In addition to the bookstore, we have all kinds of free resources that are ready for you right now. You can get a free subscription to our magazine, our podcast, our daily blog posts. You can even get free ebooks from the website faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. I really hope you'll take advantage of those free resources. Now, you may want to reach out to us as we go through this book. And to do that, I'm going to give you our email address so that you can reach out to our team. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. We love to hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you'd even like to become a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society. You can find out how to do that and much more at faithalone.org. Well, tomorrow we're going to continue our series on eternal rewards, and I'm going to be back in the studio with Sean and Bob as we discuss what the Apostle Paul called running to win. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until tomorrow, let's keep grace in focus.